You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchen. It's Wednesday, November 26th. A federal judge has ruled the U.S. Coast Guard must immediately return a rescue helicopter to the city of Newport. Dirk Vanderhart reports.
The helicopter has been stationed in Newport for nearly 40 years. It's seen by the city as a vital safeguard when fishing boats or swimmers find themselves in danger. But in late October, the Coast Guard quietly relocated the helicopter. Around the same time, evidence began mounting that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement was hoping to build a new detention center in Newport. The city's residents fought back. Last week, Lincoln County and the nonprofit Newport Fishermen's Wives sued the Coast Guard. They alleged that the agency didn't provide necessary notice and take public comment before moving the helicopter. On Monday, U.S. District Judge Ann Aiken agreed. Aiken issued a temporary restraining order requiring the Coast Guard to return the helicopter immediately. That order lasts for 2 weeks, but the judge may consider a more permanent ruling. Dungeness crab season, a particularly dangerous time for boats, begins in mid-December. I'm Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
Oregon voters might get the chance to vote on a recently passed transportation bill. Opponents of the bill say they've nearly gathered enough signatures to qualify for the ballot next year. OPB's Bryce Dole reports.
The bill aims to change how Oregon pays for its roads. It includes a slew of new taxes and fees to fill financial gaps and prevent layoffs at transportation agencies. State Representative Ed Deal is a Republican and chief petitioner. He wants to give voters a chance to stop the bill's tax increases. Deal has indicated that the campaign has gathered more than 68,000 signatures. It needs about 10,000 more by the end of December to qualify for the ballot.
I'm very confident. We're going to exceed our goal by a healthy amount and in record time. There's no doubt in my mind.
Democrats say the transportation bill is crucial to fill potholes, plow snow, and maintain Oregon's aging infrastructure. In a statement, Governor Tina Kotek said the petitioners, quote, don't have a workable backup plan for making sure Oregonians have these basic services. I'm Bryce Dole, reporting.
Nike co-founder Phil Knight is once again giving big to support Republican candidates in Oregon. Once more, here's Dirk Vanderhart.
Records show Knight contributed $3 million last month to Bring Balance to Salem. That's a political committee dedicated to electing Republicans to the state legislature. Former Oregon Congressman Greg Walden launched the effort 4 years ago. The check is the largest single donation by an individual in state history. It's just the latest sign that Knight wants Republicans to have a greater voice in controlling the state he calls home. In 2022, the billionaire spent more than $5 million supporting two candidates opposing Democrat Tina Kotek in the governor's race. Kotek won anyway. 4 years before that, Knight spent millions supporting Republican Newt Bueller for governor, only to watch Bueller fall to Democrat Kate Brown. Knight's luck dabbling in legislative races has been a bit better. In the 2022 election, he helped the GOP win back seats in both the Oregon House and Senate, but the party lost ground last year. I'm Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
Washington and 20 other states are suing the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development over changes to homelessness support grants. As Spokane Public Radio's Owen Henderson reports, on Tuesday they filed a suit over HUD's push to move services away from the Housing First approach.
For years, HUD has used its continuum of care to distribute grant money to local housing providers. HUD Secretary Scott Turner announced changes to the program earlier this month, drastically reducing the amount of grant money that can go toward permanent supportive housing. State Attorney General Nick Brown says Washington organizations get about $120 million in COC grants annually.
When the administration tries to pull this level of funding from Washington State and many states across the country, that is money that cannot be replaced immediately. We would, of course, do everything we can to fill that void, but it would not be able to fill that hole, and there will be a crisis if that money was to lapse.
HUD also added requirements like mandating tenants get treatment before getting housed and that providers only recognize two genders. Brown and the other plaintiffs argue HUD didn't go through the proper rulemaking channels and that these revisions need congressional approval. They're asking the court to pause the changes while the suit goes forward. I'm Owen Henderson reporting.
Heading into the busy Thanksgiving travel weekend, the Oregon Department of Transportation is reminding drivers to be aware of the increasing winter conditions setting in. Wet, snowy, and unpredictable weather can quickly turn travel plans upside down without the right preparation. And ODOT says they are seeing more close calls between vehicles and highway workers. The agency asks drivers to slow down, be patient, and give crews plenty of room. No matter the weather, Thanksgiving travel is busy, so drivers should plan ahead and allow extra time. And always watch for people walking and biking. Visibility drops in winter weather and early darkness. For Oregon roads, visit tripcheck.com for cameras, temperatures, and updated road conditions. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Lane Community College faculty have been working for more than 4 months without a contract. They could be headed for a strike. The union claims the administration is cutting back on diversity, equity, and inclusion policies on campus. KLCC's Rachel McDonald has more.
Adrian Mitchell is a longtime writing instructor at Lane Community College and president of the faculty union. She really doesn't like the college administration's contract proposals, and she says most of her fellow union members feel the same.
What we're seeing is administration proposals that really seek to remove a lot of the fundamental rights that faculty have and eliminate a lot of the protections and services that, in particular, serve our most marginalized students.
One sticking point concerns a requirement to keep two separate positions that support Native American programs at LCC and mandate training for managers on creating an inclusive environment. This came out of an unfair labor practice settlement with a former employee in 2022. When asked about this, LCC Associate Vice President Grant Matthews, a member of the administration's bargaining team, said there are too many separate agreements in the current contract.
And one of the intentions that we have is to try and clean those up so that we have a clean document to work with that outlines our relationship with the faculty union.
Faculty union members are especially worried about potential changes to DEI policies because of unfilled vacant positions that support students of color and events that have happened recently at the college. The position of Associate Vice President for Equity and Inclusion has been vacant since 2023. Many faculty members advocated for reinstating that office, Mitchell says. That includes literature instructor Idris Nawabi, who spoke at a March 2024 board meeting.
There's a clear hierarchy on campus that defines normal and success through a lens of whiteness, something that we need to develop and challenge through hiring a leader for the Office of Equity and Inclusion.
Nawabi, who is from Afghanistan, told Adrian Mitchell he faced retaliation after speaking out.
He had really been through a lot already on campus. He had had an experience where he had his life threatened by a student and did not feel supported at all by the administration at that time.
KLCC was unable to reach Nawabi for comment. Mitchell says he left during last spring term, citing a lack of support and safety on campus. Mitchell says at least five faculty members left in the last 3 years, citing working conditions and their experiences as people of color as factors for their departure. She fears the administration's contract proposals will worsen the situation. The administration says that the turnover of faculty of color is not significantly different from the turnover of white faculty members. Jessica Alvarado is a faculty counselor who's been at Lane Community College for more than 20 years. She says many of her colleagues have left.
We've lost four people in our work group that would identify as people of color. And also there's been other people across the campus that started positions and ended up leaving the college in within 1 to 3 years because of the treatment that they'd received.
Alvarado says she's retiring early because of the way she's been treated. When asked about the union's concerns about a loss of leadership at the Office of Equity and Inclusion, college spokesperson Jenna McCulley said the college is recruiting for a related role called the Associate Vice President for Culture and Belonging.
It gives them a little bit more oversight and ability to influence inclusion and belonging activities across our college.
The union is holding the college president, Stephanie Bolger, responsible for many of the issues they've identified in the new contract. Bolger's office did not respond to a request for comment. However, the Springfield Eugene chapter of the NAACP says the union is putting undue pressure on Bolger, who is a Black woman. At a recent board meeting, some union members and supporters used public comment to accuse Bolger of violating public meeting laws and calling for her resignation. In a letter he sent to the board, Eugene Springfield NAACP Chair DeMond Hawkins pointed to treatment of Black women in leadership across the country, who he says face heightened scrutiny in the workplace.
This is a trend across the country, right? This is part of that backlash on DEI, right? Where they're okaying things to happen to people.
This is not the first time there's been concern about how Bolger is treated. Last spring, there were complaints that the college's board chair, Zach Mulholland, bullied her. He was censored and apologized. The college's board oversees Bolger's position. Hawkins says Bolger is doing good work at LCC. Enrollment has gone up since she took leadership 3 years ago. He's seen her reach out to communities of color in a positive way. All this as the faculty and administration continue to negotiate for a contract. If negotiations are not successful, the union could be headed for a strike. I'm Rachel McDonald reporting.
Last week, the acting leader of the U.S. Coast Guard, Admiral Kevin Lunde, committed to supporting the construction of new docks at Station Cape Disappointment. Admiral Lunde also committed to finding a permanent solution for dredging at the base, which could mean erecting new breakwalls. The Cape Disappointment docking area upgrades would support the station's fleet of heavy surf boats used for rescue operations, including the new replacement fleet for its 52-foot rescue boats. That replacement fleet received a major funding boost via the Coast Guard Reauthorization Act of 2025, which Senator Maria Cantwell introduced earlier this year. U.S. Coast Guard Station Cape Disappointment is considered the largest search and rescue station in the Pacific Northwest, with an average of 450 to 500 search and rescue cases annually. It's also home to the National Motor Lifeboat School, which trains Coast Guard personnel. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com.
You're listening to News on KMUN, brought to you by our news partners and the KMUN News Team. That includes host and producer Skylar Butenshin, intern Sylvia Thorpe, and me, news director Katie Frankowitz. Our news broadcasts air Monday through Thursday, beginning at 7:59 in the morning and 4:59 in the evening. This week, we'll be attempting to take Thursday off for the Thanksgiving holiday. We will play a partner program during the news hour instead of local and regional news and the ship report. Everything goes back to normal on Monday. Thanks for listening.